Greetings, urban farmers, gardeners, and healthy food visionaries. Farmer Greg here, and welcome to the 822nd episode of the Urban Farm Podcast, where every day we work together to educate and inspire you to become part of your food revolution. And I just want to give you a heads up today. This is a really incredible episode talking about our food system and a great organization. Enjoy. Today on our podcast, we have someone who is transforming health for generations to come. We're talking with Zen Honeycutt about inspiring moms and others to change the world. Zen is the founding executive director of the nonprofit Moms Across America, a national coalition of unstoppable moms with the motto, Empowering Moms, Healthy Kids. She is also an international speaker and author of Unstoppable, Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and a Celebration of Community. Welcome to the show today, Zen. Are you ready to rock?
I am ready to rock and roll. Thank you so much, Greg, for having me. And thank you to all your listeners.
Oh, you bet. We love having you. So I shared a bit about you. Can you fill in the blanks for us and share more about the path you took to get where you're at today?
Absolutely. Well, like millions of mothers across the country and probably parents, I was struggling with my children's allergies and health issues. And I did not understand why my son, my first baby, was allergic to a whole bunch of things. At first, it was just a few things like milk, couldn't have pizza when I was breastfeeding him, eventually couldn't have gluten. It was just like a nightmare because who doesn't want to do that? And then eventually found out that he could almost die from nuts. And he actually almost did on Thanksgiving evening. There were pecans in the stuffing and I was unaware of that. And he almost died right in front of my eyes. It was terrifying. Yeah. And I did not know why this was happening because my then husband at the time and I were not people that had a lot of allergies. We didn't have a lot of allergies when we were kids. And so we were completely confused as to what was going on. And as his health problems progressed, we eventually realized he was allergic to about 20 different things. He had gut dysbiosis. He had holes in his small intestines. And then his brother ended up getting autism symptoms. All of them had all kinds of autoimmune issues. One eventually had asthma, and it was very challenging to feed all three of them that eventually ended up having 20 different allergies each. Yeah, it was very challenging. And going out to a social setting was like a nightmare. Like one of them could pick up a cookie with walnuts in it and end up in the hospital, which happened. It was a huge challenge. And when I was looking into it, I'll tell you one of the moments that had me really start looking into what was going on with my sons was when he was, the oldest one, Ben, was about 9 years old, and he was sitting at the breakfast table and his mouth was flared up like a vacuum cleaner had sucked on it. His lips were swollen and red and cracked. And he looked at me and said, "Mom, I wish all my allergies would go away." And I said, "Yeah, me too, buddy." And then I realized though that in my head, the voice in my head was saying, "That's never going to happen," because the doctors had told me his allergies would only get worse and would eventually be life-threatening. He could die from a peanut. So I realized what I was saying in my head to myself. I realized that was very resigned and doubtful and not empowering. And I'm not committed to that. I'm committed to being courageous and creative and a contribution in the world, as I'm sure you are, Greg, and many of our listeners. And I said, "That's what if we could do something about this?" So I thought of my cousin, Sarah, who had gone gluten-free for a year and had pretty much really helped heal her gut from the gut issues she was having. And we'll get into why so many people have gluten intolerances in a moment. But she was able to eat a slice of pizza at a birthday party or a piece of wedding cake at a wedding and not have severe reactions. So I reminded Ben of that. And I said, "Ben, would you like to one day eat a slice of pizza at a birthday party?" And his eyes got big and he said, "Yes," because currently that wasn't possible. We had to bring all the food whenever we went to a birthday party. And I said, "Then would you be my partner in your health? Would you drink green drinks and try acupuncture and Chinese medicine? And would you do whatever it takes?" And he thought about it seriously and he said, "Yes." And I said, "Then I promise you, buddy," and I reached out and I shook his hand, "you will get better." And I didn't know how that was going to happen. So that was one of those white light, scary, holy crap, what did I just say type of things. But I did know that if I made a promise, I would take actions that I normally never otherwise would have taken. right? I would step up for my son and to honor my word. And I did that. And we watched GMO OMG. That's by local filmmaker, Jeremy Seifert. And from Asheville. Yeah. And Genetic Roulette, and by Jeffrey M. Smith, and a bunch of movies. And with my son, we educated ourselves and we learned about GMOs and toxins in the food supply. And within 4 months of going GMO free, my son's allergies went down to just a faint pink line under his lip that only lasted 2 days. And within a year of going organic to support my second son, who had autism symptoms later on, my eldest son's allergies went from a 19 down to a 0.2. So he no longer has life-threatening nut allergies. He can eat wheat and dairy and eggs and all of that if he wants to, as long as it's organic. And all of my children's health has improved. As long as they eat organic food, they have significantly better health. And actually, that son that he's now been an organic whole food plant-based diet. He works with me on our farm. He helps grow food. He has pristine health. He has not been to a doctor for any reason other than a sports checkup for 10 years.
Wow.
And I have peace of mind that my son will not die from food. You know, because that's the risk for a lot of people now, that food could kill their kids. And so in that process, I learned about Prop 37 and the GMO labeling initiative in California. I used to live there and I volunteered to support it. And I was sitting at the back of the room during the volunteer recognition event during the election, the final night of the elections. And the volunteer organizer was acknowledging people. And I thought about, what did I do? Oh, I passed out flyers thinking about my involvement. And then I thought, huh, why am I in the back of the room and she's in the front of the room, like being the leader? Why did I make that choice to not be a leader? Nothing wrong with it. I need people to pass out flyers. But I was just like in the inquiry, why did I choose to not be a leader? And if I realized if I did, my actions would have been different, right? I would have taken different actions being a leader. And I thought, what if I did? What if I took on that I'm the one to transform the food industry, not like ego thing, save your ego thing. Like, I'm not going to wait for Jeffrey Smith and Robin O'Brien to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something about this food industry. It's my responsibility too. What if I did that? And so I just started being in the inquiry about it. And when we went out to the parking lot, my 9-year-old son, Ben, the same one that by then he had been recovering from these allergies for about 2 or 3 months now and was in, he was feeling better. I started crying though, because we lost Prop 37, the labeling initiative in California.
I remember that.
And yeah. And he looked at me and he said, Mom, even Star Wars took 6 episodes. And I said, yeah. And they had Yoda, like they had a magical being. Right? Yeah. And I was like, maybe it's just time for a new episode. Maybe there's going to be many of them. And maybe it's just time for me to take on leadership. So I did. And the next day I thought of joining into 4th of July parades to reach as many people as possible in the shortest amount of time with banners that said Moms Across America march to label GMOs. And we would march in 4th of July parades. The events are already arranged, already set up. All you have to do is slap some red, white, and blue on a tricycle and bring your kids and balloons. And, you know, some places it's free to join in. Some places it's $30 to have a group. It's not a big deal. It's local. It's not like taking kids and strollers to a march on Washington, you know? So it's affordable. It's easy, accessible. And we could reach thousands locally and millions nationally in a single day. And we did that. We had 179 groups join into 4th of July parades in 37 states. We reached millions of people. And our reach on Facebook in 3 months went from 0 to 300,000 a week. In just 3 months. And before the event. And then after the event, it you know, blew up even more. I was like, okay, so this can't be just a one-time event. This has to be a nonprofit. So by then I was already as a fiscal sponsor, under another nonprofit, and I had no training to be a nonprofit organizer or even an event organizer, but I just did it because I'm committed to a future of health and freedom. And I take actions based on that, not based on my current circumstances, not having enough money or time or knowing what I'm doing. I just figure it out as I go. And that's why empower is a very important word in our mission. And we continue to do that. And we've had, over the past 7 years, our social media person has logged 78 million impressions just on social media.
Is that
and
all?
So Yeah, so we're guessing 120 million over the past 12 years. And but that doesn't include the podcasts and the radios and the TV shows and the a dozen documentaries that we've been in. So we've reached hundreds of millions of people, and I'm very proud that our moms have taken the initiative across the country to be leaders in their local communities, because without them, this wouldn't exist. It's not just me. This is you know, thousands of volunteers that are taking initiative, and they're willing to be the weird ones to bring the organic food. Yeah. And to grow their own food and to bring their cherry tomatoes and to say, hey, here, would you want to do a seed swap? Do you want to sign a petitions? Do you want to go to the county commissioners with me and say, hey, we need a community garden, things like that. They are the moms that are willing to cause change in their neighborhoods and, as we call it, create healthy communities. And so I'm really excited about our origination. It all came from the love of our children and creating healthy communities.
Nice. You said something that tickled me a little while ago. Something, what was your mission?
Our mission is to educate and empower mothers and others with actions and solutions to create healthy communities. But that, I don't know if I said all that.
You did now. Thank you.
Yeah. But
what, when you discovered for you, what did you say? You said something about you're the person.
Oh, I'm committed to being courageous, creative, and a huge contribution to the world. That's just what I've created for myself.
So yeah. In 1991, I did a seminar at Landmark Education.
Me too.
Their advanced course.
Oh my God, I did in 2007.
Nice. So what I created myself to be is the person on the planet responsible for transforming our global food system.
No way.
And I've been living it for 32 years.
You're not the only one. Look what you're manifesting.
Yeah.
I'm here too. There's lots of us now.
Exactly. And it's like you said, it's not an ego thing.
Yes.
It's just what I'm here to do.
I'm the one. I'm taking responsibility for this.
Exactly.
I am responsible. I am able to respond to what's going on in this situation and to cause something. Yeah, I did Landmark in 2007. The advanced course, I think in 2008, and I've been doing it for 17 years ever since, on and off different seminars. It's, for those of you who are listening, it's landmarkworldwide.com, and it is a breakthrough education. If you want to create breakthroughs in your life, you get that stuff out of your way that normally would stop you. And that's why my book is called Unstoppable. Honestly, in one of the seminars, I was like, I'm going to write a book. And when I finish this book and give it to you, it's going to be like giving you a piece of my heart. And that's what it is. That's what people have said. They've cried. And
I'm in tears again.
Oh,
this is like
thanks.
The third or fourth time since we started talking, because this is how we change the world.
Yes.
That's the capital W, that we have to take on stuff that is just so big that it's unfathomable and then figure it out.
Yep. That's it. That's how we do it. And it's got to be so big that we're excited and moved and scared almost by it. And we rally other people and we do it together. We can't do it by ourselves. We can do a lot by ourselves, but it's really much more effective to work together. And I think that's why Moms Across America was so successful. People tell me, how'd you start a nonprofit and get it to be reaching millions of people a month in like that short of a time? I said, it's because we had a deadline. We had a by when, and it was a national event. It was, people are going to be doing this all across the country on the same day, reaching thousands locally and millions nationally in a single day. That's exciting. It's not just, oh, let's just have a local event and do one little thing. And no, it's nationwide. And I figured if I'm going to do this in one location, I might as well just put it out there for everybody to do it. Why would we just do it in one location, right? It's the same amount of work. It's just, and all we're doing is creating the opportunity. It's just an invitation for people.
Yep.
You don't have to do it. I had people that were tweaked out and annoyed at me, like, Zen, I'm going to be at a barbecue that day. Like, you really expect me to be in a 4th of July parade? And I said, no, you do what you're moved to do. But here's the thing. I like to be effective. Like, I used to be a waitress for 7 summers. When you have to get around to 8 tables, right? Within an, like, you've got to be effective and efficient which tables you go to and how you do that. When you're a mom and you're juggling 3 kids, you've got to be efficient. I just said, the way I see it is that I'm in a 4th of July parade. I'm giving up 2 or 3 hours of my time on 4th of July. I know it's hot. I know it's sweaty, but I'm reaching 5,000 to 50,000 people in a couple of hours in my hometown. After that, I can put my feet up in the inner tube on the pond and chillax, right? Like, because
Yep.
I have just made a contribution to my entire community or most of my community locally. And those people now have this flyer from Moms Across America that talks about GMOs and glyphosate and everything. And they have, I called it, this is like a golden ticket to a new pathway to health. This
Oh,
flyer
yeah.
has the information on it that can change your life. So if you get out and you pass it out to people in your community, 1,000 flyers is what we were inviting people to pass out in their community. So it's not everybody, not a
Yep.
5,000 or 50,000 people, wasn't everybody. But if each one of those people shared with five people who shared with five people who shared with five people like that in all of these different locations across the country, we predicted that we would cause a $50 billion shift to organic food. Was it billion or million? Oh my gosh. Sorry. I don't know, remember,
They're both
but
big numbers.
it was a huge number, right? I think it's $50 million shift to organic, right? And then I just went to the Natural Products Expo West event, and they just said, we're going to be adding on another $50 million to organic infrastructure to support to make it be like 100 million in sales or something like it was just
Wow.
this huge number. So we have already reached basically that goal in sales, and that now they're expanding and making they're doubling it. And so I believe that our moms are effectively doing that. If everybody spent just $100 a week more on organic food, we cause a shift of tens of millions of dollars or maybe even billions of dollars of sales of organic. I have to get that number straight. And money talks.
Yes.
When a corporation loses 15% of sales, according to Jeffrey Smith, they either ditch that product or
Get
invest in a new
smart.
one. It's only
Yeah.
15% of sales that they need to lose in order to
Wow.
cause a shift. That's all we have to do is reach 15% of the population to make those changes. And I believe we are well on our way with that. The organic market is growing faster than any other market. And you can now find pretty much everything you want organic in decent grocery stores. You can find even candy and baked goods and flour. And it's not just eggs and milk anymore. It's licorice, even like it's everything. You can pretty much find anything organic. We're very proud of that. And we are going to continue to transform the food industry and health in America and beyond.
Nice. And for people that don't know, why is organic food more important?
Organic food is more important because GMOs are not allowed, genetically modified organisms are not allowed. And I'll get into the three kinds of GMOs shortly. And also, glyphosate and really harmful toxic agrochemicals are not allowed in organic food. There's a new certification out called Regenerative Organic Certified, which utilizes it, it's less tilling because organic can still have a lot of tilling, and tilling can still release a lot of carbon in the air and disrupt the mycorrhizal and all of that. Regenerative Organic Certification requires little to no tilling and cover crops and animal grazing and no toxic chemicals and of course no GMOs. So more there's a movement now towards more regenerative organic farming, but you could really also say that's biodynamic farming, which has been around for a very long time and actually is even more nuanced because it has planting by the moon cycles and all of that. We at Moms Across America, though, we don't necessarily say it has to be certified USDA organic or regenerative organic certified or biodynamic. Just know your farmer. Here in Asheville, we have so many small farmers. If I can look somebody in the eye and say, do you use glyphosate? Do you use toxic chemicals? And they say no, I'm for the most part, I feel like I can trust them. I don't care if they're certified or not. Especially if you can visit their farm, you can see. You
Right.
can tell if somebody's spraying glyphosate. You can see the brown grass. You can see the soil is like sand. You can tell. So, just the most important thing is to know your farmer.
And one of the big pulls for me, because I just moved here 2 years ago from Phoenix, Arizona. I wanted to go someplace quieter and where the food system was really strong. And the local food growing culture here is mind-blowing.
It is.
There
It's beautiful.
are hundreds and hundreds of small farms in Buncombe County is what about 100,000 people? And it's just wow.
Yeah, practically everybody in my neighborhood is growing food and has animals. The first thing my neighbor asked me was, "Are you going to get animals? Like goats and donkeys and horses and cows? You're not just, are you going to get a cat or a dog?" No, it's farm animals. So we have 11 goats and 20 chickens and a couple ducks. And we used to have rabbits, but a lot of them, just too many of them got away. They snuck out, and the cats and dogs. And I'm looking at getting a cow or a mini horse or something like that. Like it's just, when you live around people that have animals, you're just like, why not get more? Why not? That's fun. It's really fun to have animals and to grow food. It's just awesome to live somewhere too that has rain. I used to live in Southern California where water was a serious problem. I knew a farmer that paid $2,000 a month for their water to grow food. It was, they had to have parties and special dinners on their property just for their water bills. It's really very challenging, I think, to live somewhere that doesn't have enough rain. So I'm grateful for that here.
Cool. We don't have any farm animals yet, but our barn and chicken coop is going in. So hopefully by the end
Oh,
of the summer, we'll have hens.
you're gonna love that. It's gonna be get having fresh eggs almost every day is so fantastic. And then being able to use their chicken poop for the nitrogen in your garden. I saw my peppers getting yellow, and a farmer friend said, "Oh no, just soak some chicken poop in some water for, I don't know if it was 3 days or 4 days. It doesn't have to be that long, actually. The longer the better, but even a couple of days, and then just cup of that in a bucket of water and add it to a bucket of water and then water your peppers with it. And that the yellowness of the peppers went away right away. They just need the nitrogen. So having your own source of fertilizer is really
Huge.
awesome. Yeah.
This is the first time in, well, since I got chickens in Phoenix in 1999. And so I from 1999 to 2022, I never bought eggs.
Yeah,
Over 20 years I had fresh eggs. So
it's
we've not had
wonderful.
fresh eggs and I'm missing them.
Yeah, and definitely if you're looking to get chickens, buy organic chicken feed or what we're doing this year. I'm challenging my kids to grow enough bugs, like mealworms, and to grow sprouts, so that we don't have to buy chicken feed. Because I honestly, I just don't trust the system that what's in animal food, pet food, and chicken feed is super healthy. So I've seen other homesteaders growing their own sprouts and growing their own mealworms and bugs for chickens. And I'm like, we can do that. And I've got three teenage boys. They can handle the bug situation. So
Do you know black soldier flies?
my neighbor has tons of them because of the horses. So how do I should just catch some of them, right?
Yes. And you're after the grubs.
Right.
And they'll eat twice their weight a day in food waste. And that's one of the things that I used to do in Phoenix is I used to grow black soldier fly grubs to feed to my chickens. So I can
That's
teach you how
great.
to do that.
I would love that. You'd come
I'd
teach
love to
my
share.
boys how to do that. That would be awesome. Yeah, we have some tray thing that my son's putting a screen, aluminum screen in type of thing. And anyway, he's working. That's his project right now. And that's the other thing I love about living in the country is that there's always projects to do. And I think our kids need to get away from screens and get
You
out,
think?
yeah, and build things and grow things and make things and learn how food is grown. And I think it's really wonderful. I highly encourage people to get yourself even a quarter of an acre is really useful for being able to grow food and have
That's what I
animals.
had in Phoenix, right in the
Yeah.
middle of 4.7 million people. I had a
You can
quarter acre.
still grow a lot of food on
A
that.
lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You mentioned something a little while ago, three different kinds of GMOs. And I've had Jeffrey on multiple times on the podcast. And so it may be a little bit of a repeat, but give us that.
Sure. Yeah, there's three kinds of GMOs. The first one is BT toxin GMOs. It's called that stands for Bacteriotherogenesis. And that toxin comes from the carcass of a dead grain caterpillar. So doesn't sound too yummy to me. But what they do is they use it at BT toxin in organic farming because it can kill horn root worms and bugs very quickly, but it does dissipate within 4 hours. So it's no longer toxic. It just dies off.
So let me just jump in here.
Sure.
BT is actually something that you can use in organic farming.
Yes, that's what I just said. Yes, in organic farming, yes, you can use it. However, in genetic GMOs, they genetically engineer it to constantly reproduce more toxins. So it doesn't just dissipate and die off. That BT toxin, when the corn rootworm comes along and eats part of the stem or the stalk or anywhere on that corn BT toxin GMO plant, it gets the BT toxin in its stomach and it constantly reproduces more toxins, and then it explodes the stomach of the bug. And so little holes are formed in the intestines and that toxin gets out and kills the corn rootworm. Now, if that doesn't sound like gut dysbiosis to you, what's going on with our kids? I don't know.
I was just going to ask that. Then one, yeah. They introduced BT corn in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that gut disease that people have been getting?
Crohn's disease, IBS has been skyrocketing in
the past
in
20 years.
Young people. But allergies in particular, I mean, and this stat is now 12 years old, but from Robin O'Brien, she was one of the first people I learned about GMOs from, along with Jeffrey Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that since GMOs were introduced, and this was, again, a 12-year-old stat, allergies have increased in children by 400%. And that number comes from ER visits to hospitals, like my son had to do multiple times.
Wow.
For allergic reactions from the food. That to me is okay. BT toxin corn was a lot of the, so that could have been in tortilla chips, in cereals, tortillas, right? All kinds of different corn products. So that's the first kind. BT, that's where the pesticide is built right into the GMO.
Yep. Okay,
it's genetically engineered to be a pesticide. The second type of GMO is called HT, stands for herbicide tolerant. And most of them are Roundup Ready or RR GMOs. And the Roundup Ready ones mean that a plane or a truck can spray an entire crop with Roundup, which contains glyphosate herbicides, along with a whole bunch of other toxins. And the crop will not die. The corn or the soy or the sugar beets will not die, but the weeds around it and everything else it touches around it will die.
Mm-hmm.
Including earthworms and microbes in the soil and all of that.
Yep.
So that is a GMO which is designed to be herbicide tolerant, right? The entire crop can be sprayed and weeds will die and the crop will not. That's the second type of GMO. And that's 80% of GMOs out there.
And before we go past this, one of the things mm-hmm. that is done in wheat growing is they actually spray glyphosate or Roundup on grains to kill them to make them harvestable quicker.
Yes, and they're not GMO. That's a very important point. So so Roundup Ready or HT, you know, herbicide GMOs are engineered to withstand glyphosate and other toxic yep. chemicals, but they also use glyphosate on non-GMO crops such as oats and wheat and peas and legumes and lentils as a drying agent, also on hops and barley. So it's been yep. detected in beer. So,
yeah.
so they use it as a drying agent. They'll say, oh, it's a pre-harvest weed killer. That's what they'll call it, but it's actually a drying agent. And what mm-hmm. it does is it kills off, as you said, the whole crop so that it can dry faster. And what it's also doing though, because glyphosate is a chelator, is it grabs on and makes unavailable the vital nutrients of any living thing it touches. So that means that when they spray glyphosate on that wheat and that corn and that soy and the legumes, it's making the vital nutrients unavailable. So what does that mean for the human population? All of a sudden we don't have nutrients available. Oh, hello. Maybe this is why we have vitamin D deficiencies and vitamin mineral deficiencies and our brains are not working because we don't have the right kind of nutrients. And when I talk about the fast food and school lunch and all kinds of other testing that we've done, we will show you this is it, the food is devoid of nutrients. So is the soil. The soil's devoid of nutrients. So it's glyphosate is a chelator in making those nutrients unavailable. It's an endocrine disruptor, meaning it disrupts the hormone system and how your whole body functions. It's not just your reproductive organs,
yep.
but it does contribute to miscarriages, to birth defects, to prenatal ICU prenatal births. It contributes to killing off sperm quality. Yes.
To yeah. weight gain. I was just listening to a podcast today from Doctors Pharmacy,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about how they're finding that people that can't lose weight often will have lead, mercury, those kind of toxins in their body that holds on to the fat.
Yes, it does. And Glyphosate can contribute to that because it impairs the kidney and liver function, and the kidney and liver functions are the ones that would be detoxing those heavy metals. Glyphosate herbicides have also been shown to contain heavy metals. So glyphosate, yeah, it's an endocrine disruptor, a chelator. It's also an antibiotic. It kills off the beneficial gut bacteria and allows for the proliferation of pathogenic gut bacteria, which means that when you have an overgrowth of Salmonella and E. coli in your gut, you're going to be more prone to not only sickness and immune system weakness, but also UTIs, urinary tract infections. Yep. And also it causes the bad bacteria in the gut to tell the brain to go and attack. And the microglia cells in the brain will go attack, and they'll create excitotoxins, which excite the brain neurons. Eventually, those they will die, and you'll have children that can't make eye contact, memory loss in adults, young adults, things like that. So the brain neurons are dying because of the bad gut bacteria in the gut. So it really does start all in the gut. So when you're eating glyphosate on a consistent basis, you are destroying your beneficial gut bacteria. The average American is supposed to have 30,000 different strains of bacteria in your gut, and most of us have less than 10. Wow. We are killing off the beneficial gut bacteria. So that is a major problem for how our body functions and for our health. And that's why scientists like Stephanie Seneff, the author of Toxic Legacy, an MIT scientist, says that glyphosate is a major contributing factor to 40 different modern diseases. And Dr. Don Huber, one of our advisors, who's like a 60-year plant pathologist, he's in his 90s now, he says that the impact of glyphosate is going to make DDT look like mouthwash. Wow. It is an incredibly harmful herbicide, and it's used to the tune of 280 million pounds per year just on the food supply, 20 Still. Million pounds per year on in our parks and playgrounds, which we're trying to get them to stop doing. They spray glyphosate on Asheville hiking trails. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, we need to do something about that.
Yeah. And they spray it underneath the utility lines in the Blue Ridge Mountains. They spray glyphosate underneath the utility lines. Wow. In the most biodiverse area in the country, they are just willy-nilly spraying glyphosate, which has been shown to impact the habitats of 96% of endangered species and cause harm to 93% of endangered species. So we are killing off our endangered species with glyphosate. So anyway, so that's the spraying of glyphosate. Okay, it's sprayed on crops as a drying agent. The third type of GMO is just to go in line with BT and HT. I call them DT, which is desired trait. They have been called desired trait GMOs. And they are CRISPR, gene editing. They have nothing to do with pesticides and herbicides, which sounds great, because they're engineered for desired traits like more vitamin A or potatoes that don't rot, but actually they are rotting. They're just masking the browning process. Yes. So you can still smell them as rotten. They just don't look rotten. So that means these Simplot potatoes can be cut up and used in your restaurant food. And then apples that don't brown, like the Arctic apple, which is for sale on Amazon. And let's see, a salmon, which grows four times fatter, four times faster, and is sterile. Right? That those types of desired trait GMOs. And so those are the three GMOs. And the problem with that third type of GMO, even though it's a desired trait sounds great, is that when they make that change in the organism, that one area, they think they're being very precise. You can't just change one thing and expect everything else to remain the same. We're not Legos. We are holistic beings, right? So what happens is thousands of off-target mutations are caused when they make that one change to the RNA. And I'm not interested in thousands of off-target mutations. I've got homework and social media and sports and all kinds of other things to worry about with my kids. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to worry about feeding them something that's going to cause off-target mutations. I think unintended consequences are a bad idea. I think we should be intentional about our food. And to me, that means no GMOs and no toxic chemicals on our food supply.
Wow. 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 Sounds like we could go on for another couple hours, and maybe we should get together and do this again. But I always look for epic. And you have a story about a young man who went on a organic diet and something amazing happened. Can you share that with us?
Yes, sure. And for people to get context of this, I don't think we're going to have time to go into it all, but please look at our test results on school lunches and on fast food, who are the suppliers of school lunches, to see how this story that I'm about to tell you really makes sense. Okay. They, of course, are highly toxic. There's more toxins in school lunches and fast food than there are nutrients. Okay. And that's what our kids are eating on a daily basis. So the story is that after the Florida shooting, do you remember that? I don't remember what year it was, but after the Florida shooting, the day after, I got a phone call from a woman who wanted me to know how important it was to continue doing the work that we're doing. And she said, I need to tell you a story as to why. And I said, okay. She said, but she wants to remain anonymous. And she said, you'll see why. And her son, when he was 9 years old, he had mental health issues. And she told the school and they ignored her until they called her one day and said, you need to come pick up your son from school. He just threatened to blow up the school with a bomb and kill everyone in it. And she said, I told you he has mental health issues. He needs help. And she was a single mom of four kids in Santa Ana, language barriers, who was struggling. And they said, okay, we'll send him to a psychiatrist. So they did. And the psychiatrist assessed him and said, well, you need to give him this SSRI, this antidepressant. She's like, that's it? Isn't there anything else we can do? And he said, it's either that or look at the food you're feeding him. She's, what do you mean? He said, what are you feeding him? She said, I don't know, hot dogs, pretzels, quesadillas, hamburgers, whatever I can get into him. He's a very picky eater. And he said, you can either feed him organic food and avoid the pesticides and GMOs and chemicals and food dyes. You can feed him either organic food or you can give him this drug.
Hold on. A doctor said that?
A psychiatrist said this. Yes.
Oh, well, that's amazing in itself.
Yes, it's amazing. And so she found a way, low-income mom, to feed her child rice and beans, a little salsa, like that, like a Chipotle bowl type of thing. And for 2 weeks, she did this 100% organic. And after the 2 weeks, the school principal called her and said, we don't know what you're doing, but you better keep doing it. This is a completely new human being. And she said, I'm calling you because I know my son is now 17. And I know that he would have been one of those kids that could have gone out when he was 18 and bought a gun and shot the kids up at his school. And that's a hard thing for a mother to admit.
Yeah.
But he's not going to do that, she said, because he's eating organic food. He's happy. He's responsible. He's working on community gardens. He's going to have a great life. He's a completely different person. And I said, you know what you did? You created a new future for your son by feeding him organic food. And that was not the future he was going to have. And I said, and not only for your son, but for everybody at that school and your entire community, because they're not mourning the loss and the trauma of the death of dozens or hundreds of kids. And you might have even created a new future for our entire country, because who knows what your son or any one of these other kids that now has a life to live is going to invent. They could run for office. They could create a product or a service. Look at Google or Facebook or whatever, Tesla or whatever you want to look at. It only takes one or two people to really be innovative to cause something to happen that can change the world. So that's why Moms Across America is doing what we're doing, because we want our children and the human beings on this planet to be able to live up to their fullest potential and to be able to accomplish ordinary and extraordinary things. And I think that's why we're here on this planet, is to create and to experience and to contribute to other people. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing.
And I'm starting to hear from some of the people I'm talking to and some of the content I listen to that this isn't just about kids.
Oh, yeah.
When as adults, I mean, there's a whole lot of crazy in the world right now.
It's 1 out of 5 people have a mental illness. And that includes the people driving next to you in the car. It includes politicians.
Yep.
That includes teachers and babysitters, your family members, your brothers and your sisters. There is a whole, and that stat 1 out of 5 is probably about 10 years old. I think it's more like 1 out of 2 or 3 by now. It's a very scary thing. And so we talk a lot too about the nutrients in the food supply because I'm going to answer a question I know you're going to ask me about a book. So I'm going to just weave that in here. Okay.
All right. Hold on. If you could recommend one book for our listeners, what would it be and why?
Okay, great. It would be Food and Behavior, The Natural Connection by Barbara Reed Stitt. She's a Lifetime Achievement Award winner, and she studied prisoners, serial killers, and criminals, and also high school dropouts and just students for 20 years. And her studies went a year long at each location. And when she studied a prison, she found a couple of things. One was that the one thing that they all bragged that they had in common was not, you would, the one thing they all had in common was not that their socioeconomic background, it was not their race or that they grew up in an urban area. It was that they bragged that they lived on junk food.
Yep.
Like, I only eat pizza and Coke, that kind of thing. And they also had deficiencies in vitamin B in their brains. And when she switched over the prison food, took out all the junk and processed foods, and at that time, it was the late 90s, GMOs and glyphosate, I don't think she knew about it, wasn't in the book, but that's what was in the food supply at that time. And none of us really knew. She switched over to whole foods. The recidivism rate switched. Instead of 70% going out and coming back in within a year, 70% went out and stayed out.
Nice.
And when they supplemented, there was another study that was done when they gave them minerals and supplements. Within 1 to 2 weeks, the accounts of aggressive behavior in the prison, which they record,
down.
Dropped 50 to 70% in 1 to 2 weeks just with supplementation. So that supplementation, and I believe probably vitamin B was one of the top things. I'd have to look into it a little bit further, but they were supplementing, was incredibly effective in reversing aggressive and violent behavior. So we know this, Greg, we've known this for 20 or 30 years,
yeah,
that aggressive behavior is linked to a deficiency in vitamin B. And
wow.
who in our government or in our healthcare industry is telling people that? What psychiatrists are telling kids? What about the autism expert? Are they telling it take vitamin B complex? Now, I know that there's some kids that can't, they have issues going on. So please consult with your doctor. I am not a doctor, but that is one of the things that has been linked to aggression. And this is corroborated by a study out of Strasbourg. There was a farmer that had a monocrop farm in Strasbourg. He was growing corn. And monocrop, we know, means most
one
likely
crop.
GMO, or at least hybrid, but most likely GMO corn with glyphosate being sprayed and all kinds of chemicals. The soil was like sand, is what the scientists said when they went to research this field. And they were doing this because the farmer said there was a sudden decline of hamsters in his field. I didn't know hamsters lived in cornfields, but apparently they do. And this farmer was very concerned about the decline of hamsters in his cornfield, very caring farmer. So he contacted the University of Strasbourg, and the scientists came out to study this because I guess in Europe, scientists, universities do that kind of studies. And so what they found was that these hamsters, the reason for the decline of the population of hamsters in this cornfield was because from a very disturbing behavior. And that was that the mothers were cannibalistic. They were eating their young on the first day of life. And when they tested these mothers, they found they were devoid, completely devoid of vitamin B3. And when they administered vitamin B3, guess what happened? The cannibalism stopped. The violent behavior completely stopped. So what does that tell you? Does that tell you we need to have more gun laws that criminals are not going to follow anyway? Or should we perhaps be getting nutrient dense, safe, non-toxic food in our food supply? I think the latter would be a better time of our taxpayer dollars for our politicians to be focusing on.
Yeah,
you think?
exactly. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And then that story with the boy in Santa Ana just reaffirms what we're seeing in the science, in the studies that are happening in the food supply, in the prisons. Oh, the other thing is a school was studied. Barbara Reed Stitt studied a school with 5,000 students. And when she switched over the food, took out the soda machines and the highly processed foods, when she switched over the food to whole healthy foods, the dropout rate went from 500 a year down to 14. And a significantly higher number of them went on to go to college and to be successful. And so we know, Greg, we know what we need to do. We just need to have the political will in the white up on the hill to take care of this. And okay, so I should say, maybe not all of us know. Some of us know, right? Barbara Reed Stitt is known for 20 or 30 years. There's a lot of people that have known for a very long time that proper nutrition is the answer to resolving our mental health and violence problem, crisis in America. We've got mass shootings, two a day now in America. The mass shooting is more than three people. And it's not being resolved by, we'll have you in our prayers, gerrymandering and filibusters and political laws don't affect somebody who's mentally ill. What affects somebody that's mentally ill is getting the proper nutrition and support that they need to have their brain heal, and which can happen, and for them to get better. And a lot of it has to do with what's going on in their gut. They've got to stop eating glyphosate and toxic chemicals that destroy their gut bacteria.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to have you back because we got lots to talk about. Thank you for all of that. And it sounds like there's a lot more information about how our bad food and lack of nutrition is actually impacting the violence in our culture.
I could give you tons of information, but I would just invite you to try this in your own home.
Yeah.
Try going 100% organic. First of all, try planting some food in your yard and growing your
Right.
food. Yeah, this year. See how awesome it feels to grow your own yellow squash. I held that first yellow squash up like a trophy. I have a picture of myself with that yellow squash. And my friends are like,
Nice.
Zen, it's just a squash. I'm like, yeah, but it's my
Yeah, but it,
squash.
exactly. I did this.
I grew it from a seed. So try growing food and try going 100%, 100%. Don't even get like canned chicken, you know, unless it's organic. Get
Yeah.
organic chicken, cook it, chop it up, you know, if you want to make chicken salad. Get organic everything for 2 weeks and see how you feel. I would submit that you will be sleeping better. You will be less cranky. Your relationships will be better. Your rashes will clear up. You'll have more energy. Your body will be functioning better. And the more plants and whole foods you can put in, the better. Don't just go organic and buy a whole bunch of processed food, okay? But go organic and buy a lot of vegetables and a lot of whole foods, sweet potatoes, organic eggs, make sure they're pasture raised, all that kind of stuff. Just try it. And in my house, I didn't tell you all the triumphs, but in my house, oh, I did say my son hasn't been to a doctor for 10 years for
Right.
being sick. We have saved at least $15,000 a year in doctor's bills by going organic, at least. And so in my house, the way I see it is I can't afford to not buy organic. It's just the way to prevent us from going to the doctor. So you can either pay
Yeah.
the farmer or yourself and grow food, or you can pay the
Pay the
doctor.
doctors.
Yep.
Yep. I love that TED talk from about 20 years ago where this young 14-year-old gets up and is talking about the food system. And he says, you can either pay for it now, like
You pay.
buying organic, or pay for it later at the doctor.
Yeah, and that young man is from Asheville,
Is he
this area.
really?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he grew up in a eco farm area in off of Black Mountain. And I'm so sorry, I'm forgetting his name right now. It's a
You and
really
me too. Well, it's been a long
unusual
time.
name, but he's a very nice young man. He's in his 20s now, and yeah, he was I think 9 years old when he did that TED talk. It was really cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, really
Exactly.
cool.
I want to do this next part quickly because we've been on almost an hour and I want to
Okay.
respect the hour.
Sure.
I'm going to shift on you and I'd like for you to talk about a time you failed, how you overcame that failure, and what you learned from it.
Yeah. When I was being an activist, just getting started, and I was sharing on Moms Across America about different groups and what they were doing, going GMO free. And there were zones that were like GMO free zones, and just sharing about different things that were happening. People were looking to Moms Across America to get the word out about what was going on. And I failed to post about a particular county that was going GMO free, an event they had. I posted about it on different Moms Across America pages, but not that one. And that person got so upset with me. She went through every single post. Up, she was up till 1 in the morning trying to prove to me that I had not posted. And I took it so personally and felt so badly that it like crippled me for a day. I was so upset because she was upset. I took everything very personally. And so what I learned from that is that, first of all, people really care.
Yes.
People really care about people who are interested in this food supply issue. They are very passionate about it. And it's because either they have almost died or one of their loved ones has almost died. Like health is super important to them. So acknowledging when people are doing something good and right and encouraging that is very inspiring and it's super important. Like sharing that other people are doing good things
Yeah.
is very, very important. Anytime anybody is doing something good around the food supply, I'm like, okay, how can, let's make a meme. Let's share about, let's get it out there.
Yep.
Let's inspire other people with this person's one good action. There's a school system in Marin County. I just learned they're getting organic cereal in the schools.
What?
Yes, I'm like, give me that information. I'm going to make a meme. I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to do blah, blah. We're going to get that information out there. What I learned from that is it's really important to celebrate people's wins and to
Yeah.
share about people's wins. And also, it's very important to also not to not take things so personally and allow that to stop you. Like allowing that to like get me really depressed and take me out and not be in action for a day and be so sad is really not useful. I didn't do something. Next time I'm going to do it. Like
Yeah.
that. And my farmer friend Howard Vlieger said, make sure it's like water off a duck's back. Acknowledge it and then just let it go and keep going.
Yeah. Keep changing the world. What do you consider your biggest success?
Oh, my biggest success, besides having my kids, that's I'm a mom, that's my answer. But in addition to that, I would have to say on a continual basis, it is getting those thoughts out of the way that would normally stop me, those fears, and how in one case, how that was, it manifested was I actually prayed that I would meet with the head of Monsanto, the CEO. And talk to him face to face on behalf of other moms. And it happened. I spoke in front of the shareholder meeting, a Monsanto shareholder meeting in 2015. Wall Street Journal covered it. I got to meet Hugh Grant. Unfortunately, that was his name, not the actor, but the CEO of Monsanto. His name was Hugh Grant. And he came up to me and he said, he welcomed me. And I said, Mr. Grant, Moms Across America is looking forward to the day when Monsanto makes products that no longer harm our children. And he said, oh, we're always looking forward. He had a very thick Scottish accent, which I'm not going to try to imitate. But he said, I'm always looking forward and we have science on our side. And I said, oh, we have science too, to show that your products are harming our children. And what I would urge you to consider is that if you're wrong, what is the impact? The impact is nationwide on millions of people. He said, multinational. I said, I'm sorry, the impact is global on people around the world. And he said, well, if you're wrong, you're worrying an awful lot of people. And I said, but if I'm wrong, the impact is only that people are eating organic and there's nothing wrong with organic. And I said, but it takes a big man to make a big and powerful company, but it takes an even bigger man to acknowledge when something's not working and to go into a new direction. And for one iota of a second, I got him. Like he was just like, And then he left. And that like, pointing out that he could acknowledge something and see something and go in a new direction, that came from my mom, because my mom has taught me to always see the good in people and to not just go there and make him wrong, but say, hey, you've got an opportunity to go in a new direction. How about taking that on? And he found eventually that they could not go in a new direction. They sold Monsanto to Bayer. The Monsanto campus has been shut down. The airport hangar has been sold off. The CEO and the CTO have left the company. And Bayer is now the owner of Monsanto Technology. And that company lost $63 billion in stock market revenue. And the shareholders sued them and they won $12 billion in profits. And 144,000 plaintiffs sued Monsanto during that process, during that time, for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma link to Roundup, and they won over $12 billion. Yeah. So it did not bode well for him, and he did not change direction. And I'm actually pretty proud of that.
Yeah, I'll say, good job. And what drives you? What's your big why?
It's love for my children. It's love for nature. It's love for the bees and the trees and this opportunity that we have to be alive. And we live best when we are free of toxic chemicals and our bodies are able to function and we're able to heal ourselves. Our bodies are amazing. Yes. Our bodies are amazing and they can heal themselves. They just need the ability and the nutrition to be able to do that. So I'm driven by the love for my children and for the really, when I found out that GMOs cause the second or third generation of rats to be sterile, to not be able to reproduce, I was like, wait a second, that means that my kids or grandkids might not be able to experience the profound love that it is to create one's own child and to have a family. And that's what really drives me is the desire for my children to be able to have a family, to be able to procreate. And in order to do that, they need to have spouses whose reproductive organs work, right?
Yeah.
And so that means this is a community issue. This is not just a my family needs to eat organic issue. This is everybody needs to eat organic issue, because who knows where my kids' spouses are going to come from someday.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. All right. And one book for our listeners, just give us the title and the author again.
Food and Behavior, A Natural Connection by Barbara Reed-Stitt.
Nice, nice, nice. And what final piece of advice do you have for our listeners?
I would say the final piece of advice is to find a buddy if you're going to switch over to organic, find community or a buddy, somebody that you can talk about this with so you don't feel, and I think that's fairly easy to do right now. It's not as difficult as it was 12 years ago. But if you're in a mom's group and you have friends that have kids with allergies and all that, talk about this stuff with them and say, hey, do you want to try this going organic thing for 2 weeks? How about we just bring organic snacks to our play dates? And that way the kids know that they can share those snacks and it's safe. It's not, oh, you're weird. No, you're weird. You're eating that food. I can't eat that food. Create a space of safety with your children in your home. First of all, have everything be organic for 2 weeks. Try that out. Get the other stuff out of the house. Don't have it in the house. If you have it in the house, you will eat it. It's
Yeah,
just,
get rid of
it's
it.
human. Yeah, just chuck it and go cold turkey, 100% organic, and try that for 2 or 3 weeks. Really, 2 or 3 months is better, but see how you feel.
When
See
you
how
can
you
see
feel.
results in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Yeah, don't you love those balloons? I don't know
No,
where
that,
that
yeah.
came from, but
I don't
thanks.
know. Yay.
Yeah, I do want to talk a little bit, and I know we've been on for a while here. Moms across America, you're doing all kinds of great stuff. You're also starting to do glyphosate testing and other testing.
Yeah.
Tell us just 2 minutes worth of what Moms Across America does in that arena.
Sure. We started glyphosate testing back in 2013. We were the
Wow.
first ones. We initiated glyphosate. There were no labs that could test for glyphosate before that. So it was this angry mom that wanted to
Yes.
get
Yes.
glyphosate testing done because I suspected it harming my children. And so finally got a lab that would do that. And we tested breast milk and tap water and urine and found it in very high levels that are 3,000 times higher than has been shown to cause sex hormone changes and kidney damage at
Wow.
very low levels in animal studies. And so we then tested beer and wine, and other groups tested cereals and snacks and chips and goldfish and all kinds of things. And we tested orange juice. Recently, we tested school lunches and fast food. And just recently, this week, we released a cereal called Loaded by General Mills. It's actually loaded with toxic chemicals, glyphosate, heavy metals, pesticides. Yeah, it's bad. Really, heavy metals is really becoming a very big issue because of, I think, the pesticides, petroleum, and I think it's the fertilizers that
Yep.
are loaded with heavy metals, and that's absorbing into the food. And so Moms Across America does testing because we believe that unless you know better, you can't do better. Like Maya Angelou says, once you know better, you can do better, but you have to know first. And with the
Yeah.
Landmark lingo is it's you get to what's so. Once you know
Yeah.
what's so, the reality of the situation, then you can be powerful. So we've been testing for several years now, and we are always looking for more funding. We are looking, universe, please send us a billionaire who will give us $1 million a year so that we can test every month or at least every quarter. We have to test over 40 samples because that's a scientifically significant number that the EPA and the USDA cannot ignore. And so we have been doing that with school lunches and fast food, and it's very important to get this information out there to move the needle in having a safer, non-toxic, nutrient-dense food supply.
Wow. All right, cool. We got that request. All you listeners out there, let's manifest $1 million a year for
Yes.
Moms Across America.
That's not too much to ask. There's other nonprofits that have $10 million, $100 million budgets, and the EPA has a $13 billion budget. What's 1 million for a bunch of moms that are getting the job done and wearing six hats at a time, right? Come
Right?
on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, well, wow. We got to get back together and talk again.
Great.
And thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Zen. How can our listeners get a hold of you, find out more?
MomsAcrossAmerica.org or .com. We have both URLs, and you can join us. If you sign up for our newsletter, you'll get an invitation to sign up and join us on Monday nights on our Moms Connect calls, where you can talk directly with me in person and many of our moms and others, mothers and others who are committed to creating healthy communities. We always learn something from the participants who come on the call. It is not a show, it is a discussion. And we often have doctors and scientists and farmers and researchers on the calls as well to share their knowledge. So we welcome you for a free call on Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we'd love for you to sign up and be a volunteer, get our newsletter, and donate as well. Thank you so much.
Oh, you bet. Awesome. That's momsacrossamerica.com.
You can also find my book on Amazon. It's called Unstoppable: Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and a Celebration of Community, to learn my story and to learn more about the food supply.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you to all your listeners for sharing this. Please share this podcast because that's how we reclaim our health and our sovereignty and our sense of community is to share this information.
Yeah. Amen to that. You can also find show notes from today's podcast at urbanfarm.org/momsacrossamerica.
Thank you, Greg.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Urban Farm Podcast. Remember to listen for tips, advice, and resources to help you on your journey with urban farming. You can find us on the web at urbanfarm.org or send us an email to podcast@urbanfarm.org. In the words of Vincent Van Gogh, great things are done by a series of small things brought together. Be encouraged that with each lesson learned and skill developed, you are one step closer in the direction of your dreams.